County Planning and Zoning.
Paul Hanson, Tulsa City Engineer.
Andrew Edgar, City Planner, Tulsa City.
Kim Clausing, Tulsa County Health, working on active transportation.
Wade Bittner, County Commission.
Brent Marshall, Mayor, Grantsville City.
Brad Cameron, UDOT ITS Division.
Brad Palmer, Region 2 Traffic Operations.
Kip Billings, Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Great, and just for the record, since we're now recording these meetings, this is the Monday, October 1st, 2018 meeting of the Tuolla Valley Rural Planning Organization, meeting in Tuolla City Hall, large conference room, and it's probably about 1:34. So with that, any comments on the June 11th meeting summary? Hearing none, I'll take a motion to...
I so move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so those will stand approved. Thank you. So, there's...
Can I ask just a matter of...
Yes, please.
I've never thought about this, but do we have a minimum number of members that have to, like on city council, you've got to have a number of the total or county commission?
Right. So...
Have we ever faced that?
Not to my knowledge. So technically, and it's good, thank you for the question. It's good to make everybody aware of this. Technically, there's only three members of the RPO, a member of the Tuolla County Commission, the Grantsville Mayor, and the Tuolla City Mayor. But we have a combined elected official slash or combined policy technical committee, and so we do approvals. We let everybody who's here vote on meeting minutes. But if we had an action, say, to approve an update to the long-range plan or something, we would probably just have a vote of the actual RPO members, the official membership. Any questions or concerns about that?
So in that case, it would be the county commission, the mayor, and the mayor of Tuolla City.
Right, one of the county commissioners.
I'm on the small urban of the general highway, as is my good commissioner friend. In those meetings, which I don't know what the format's going to take, it's kind of evolving and changing, where League of Cities and Towns is now taking up the role. They require a substitute. Would there be any value for Tuolla City, where Mayor Nguyen is usually not able to attend because of other conflicts? Would it be advisable for us to find a substitute that could be her designated, so that should a vote be needed, that,
Good question.
That could be heard?
Good question.
I know I'm going to hand you all in favor of your hand.
Well, I think you have the same situation. If the commissioner wasn't here, right, you'd have to have one of the other commissioners come and represent them. And I don't know, as a mayor, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, if I had the public works director come to cast the vote for Grantsville City, as I don't think Mayor Nguyen would be opposed to, say, you, Paul, to cast.
Well, I agree 100%. The only reason I raise that is because I'm hearing more and more about challenges to legislative policy and practice by those that may oppose a project. Some that may want to stop a project from moving forward and say, well, was it endorsed with the proper authority? There are those that would like to stop roads from being built. Right. There are those that would like to stop for whatever it may be. And Brad, maybe I'm making it sound worse than it really is, but I just like to make sure that we don't find ourselves with a hurdle that we don't have to face. Right. So that's the only reason I bring it up, just as a question.
That's a fair question, and you know, my two cents, I mean, it's up to...
Well, you're up to a nickel now. Don't limit yourself. You're up to a nickel.
Right. Obviously, it's up to this group, but I think if we voted on things more often, I would see a need for that. But on the other hand, or a stronger need for that. But on the other hand, if the group, especially if the members want to designate alternates for voting purposes, I would assume. I mean, I'm not aware of any issue with doing that. So.
Well, excuse me, on the small urban committee, we allow someone to come in as a designee. Mm-hmm. Not always, it might not always be the same one.
Right.
And so a designee is in there, and I believe that has understood, that could be understood here. Because when I have been here, I've asked someone else to come. And so if you think we need a formal motion and a vote to accept that, that's fine. If you don't think that's necessary, I'm willing to just say a designee. Except I won't designate Mayor Marshall.
I would vote the right way for the county, so probably be better that I didn't vote. I wouldn't get in trouble.
No, we do that with WFRC because one of us is an alternate and the other one's a regular member. Okay. So I don't think that's a problem.
If it's okay with the group, why don't I bring a copy of the bylaws to the next meeting? And we'll see if that's spelled out in there already. See if we have any existing process that we ought to be paying attention to.
To you.
Yeah. Who houses those? Is that through Wasatch Front Regional Council or is it the state? Those documents?
I've got a copy. I don't know, to be honest, if each of the local governments has a copy. Okay. But I imagine they did back when the RPO was formed back in 2004. But since that time, I'm not 100% sure.
Again, just for clarity, I'm not opposed to what we do and how we do it. I just want to try to be proactive so that we
That's great.
Well, I think
just to strengthen what we do.
We're growing, yeah. And then where some of the funding, the CMAC funding and stuff like that, could be questioned at times. That's a really good policy to already have in place because. Sure. You know, as the community gets bigger, you don't want to look biased or, you know, favorited towards a certain, you know, misconstrued.
Well, that's, thank you, good point. So we'll do that, bring those to the next meeting and have some more discussion on that. Thank you. Anything else on people's minds before we dive into the agenda? All right. So there's not a requirement to take the RPO plan out, the Tooele Valley RPO plan out for public comment, but it's probably good practice and wanted to give opportunity for the group to talk about whether and when they would like to take the draft plan out for public comment before it gets approved, and that is one item that will require a vote. And again, we'll probably ask for input from the whole group, but then the official vote would take place with the Tooele City Mayor, the Grantsville City Mayor, and the commissioner appointed to the RPO. Any thoughts on any, I guess maybe the easier question is any opposition to taking the plan out for public comment? Or maybe a better approach would be, let me give you a copy of the two maps and the one pager that would be put out for public comment, and then maybe that can inform the discussion.
Wayne, we need to have it pretty firm in our minds when we do that, because otherwise some people catch a hold of that and there may be an addition a month later, mm-hmm. and they're holding the last one and saying, well, why didn't you follow this, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so I think we need to exercise caution, but I'm 100% for sending it out to the public for their information.
So my question, are you going to do it only in one spot or are you going to do it in multiple spots?
Well, and that's a good topic for discussion as well. So if we could, let's go ahead and take a look at these. Make sure you're comfortable with these documents, or if there are any additional changes to them that you'd like to see. And then, if we could, we'll move to a discussion on maybe first when you prefer the public comment period to be, and then a discussion on the approach for obtaining public comment.
To help answer that question, in my mind, we work backwards from a date. Is there a date that this needs to go to the receiving body by?
Thank you. Yes. This ought to get approved probably no later than June of next year. Would probably make sense to approve it sometime between this December and next June. And that way, the reason I say that is that that's in the same time frame as the other regional and statewide transportation plans that are being approved. You may recall the four MPOs in the state, as well as UDOT and UTA, all participate in a unified transportation plan, and those documents will be approved next or late spring, early summer time frame.
Summit, uh-huh. and Salt Lake County had a lot of plans that were connecting to both ends of north and south, and even somewhat east. Is there any way that thoughts of west for Salt Lake County could be also in the mix of a lot of plans? So
for the active transportation?
Yeah.
So, do you want to share any thoughts in that regard? Or?
Yeah, so I wasn't able to attend that, so I'm not exactly sure everything they talked about there, but
it was just a display board. So.
Okay. At the region, we just updated our active transportation plan. It's being put into a GIS map right now. And
right.
When that's done, we can show that to you. But there are plans to not only north-south, but also a lot of east-west
okay.
corridors. And they're trying to match it up what the cities and the county have in plan so that we're not just sending routes to nowhere.
Okay.
We're trying to coordinate
right.
all those efforts and trying to figure out, you know, maybe this state route isn't the best one. There's a smaller city road that would be.
Well, there's only kind of one route in and out, but.
Are you talking specifically from Tooele to Salt Lake County?
Yeah. So it just, I mean, I know there's other routes once you get on 201, 202, or I-80, but just definitely if, like, they're just definitely looked at, especially with the possibility of the Inland Port, you know, I mean, wouldn't that be fantastic if we could have Inland Port people ride bikes or anything like that instead of all those cars on the road?
Yeah, that portion is tricky right now just because
right.
it is so in flux right now.
Understood.
Yeah.
But definitely just keep on the radar.
Oh,
so I didn't want to consume the time, but just, yeah, definitely keep on the radar. Though I'm not going to ride my bike to the airport, but, you know, there might be some people that would ride the UPS store or the UPS, you know, if there was opportunity, they very well might. So anyway, just saying.
Thank you. Yeah, this connection that's shown here in red on the phasing, as well as on the route type, is to indicate that the plan is, or the desire of the local governments is to make a connection.
Right. Yeah, so just if those were just shown on Salt Lake County's end of it.
Well, and great. And just one other item of note, you know, the intent with the Tooele Valley RPO plan is to capture regional level improvements. And so, you know, not every bike route is captured.
Right.
And the focus on the highway is for adding through travel lanes or constructing a new road, and as well as showing where grade separation is intended, at least on the freeway at this point. But with that, so thank you, Kim. Any other additions or changes to the...
When we talked about this once before, Wayne, if you take the red dotted line that goes on the south end of Grantsville, that line was supposed to go over 236, and it was supposed to have a little wiggle in it from the 2000 north down by the Home Depot.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposed to go from there up and around and had a little wiggle, and it tied into the depot fence line. You guys got it coming up here off of 2000 North, or approximately 2000 North, and Tom's Lane going across. And the intent when we had that meeting was that it went this way, and it just had just a little wiggle to tie into the depot fence.
Can you show me that?
That was one of the changes that we had made.
So coming up from 2400 North, or the light, the signal, right, on 36, and then coming down.
And tying into the depot fence line.
Okay.
That created an east-west corridor, because Durfee Street is not wide enough at the eastern end of it to accommodate what they have tried to do by making it a much more traffic
collector road.
Okay.
Then we don't have the Ochre Expressway on this.
Okay. Just, I mean, thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Mayor. Let me just get any thoughts from Tooele City on, or maybe I should show that.
That was the one that we had talked about, Paul, with Mayor Dunlap.
Sorry.
Where we would swing around the garbage dump area there and could tie into the depot fence line so that it would allow for east-west.
Sure.
And that's the only road that I'm referring to, is that one right there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate from what I recall the discussions.
Because it would take it all the way across to the Mormon Trail, and it isn't one of those where you have to start to try to preserve corridor. There's the majority of the corridor is already there, other than from the Sheep Lane going east.
Right.
But in the designing phases, it could be picked up.
Mm-hmm. So Tooele City, do you have any concerns with that?
No, not with that proposal at all. I think that's pretty much what's been talked about in the past.
Okay, thank you. We'll make that correction. And then the Ochre Expressway, Commissioner, you were...
That goes above the railroad track, starting over at the point of the mountain and continuing. We've got several iterations, but it'll follow the contour primarily and come out probably in Lincoln, or it's been proposed to go as far as the old highway up to the Anaconda.
Okay. All right.
I can get you a better map.
Okay.
That one drawn there.
Thank you.
And then the same thing with the second phase of the Mid-Valley Highway. That will probably follow a sheep lane closer than it will that bump through the middle of the property there.
Okay.
Just across from Purple and from, Deseret Peak and UMC.
Okay.
That's the prognosis right now. Another iteration has been to go up above that 900 acres, and so we're still trying to put that together.
Okay.
And then, of course, you've got the 201 connection that goes here,
right,
around the corner.
Yep.
Have you decided to drill through the mountain or go over the top of the railroad?
So if it's okay with this group, right now we've simply got language in this first footnote that says, due to changes in land development, reevaluation of the, middle and southern sections of the proposed Mid-Valley Highway, and also the SR 201 extension may be considered.
So well, then what we want to do is make sure that it's in the plan, so when on gives us more money, we can move it up earlier than 2040.
Got it. Okay. No, I think that's one of the primary purposes, obviously, of having this plan, is to allow things to move forward. And yet, and so we'll get that Ochre Expressway alignment from you. But on the other hand, this is a planning level document, and we recognize that there's still environmental work that needs to be gone through, and other things probably before the final alignments are decided. So, and that, in fact, we've put that on below the, as a second footnote, kind of, and I think this was Paul's idea back a year or two ago. This is a planning level document. Suggested time frames are for planning purposes only, and along with that, of course, is the fact that the alignments aren't set in stone.
Can't we get a proposed deal with Lake Dugway that they test their bombing up there on that hillside and make a pathway up there, and then, I'm kidding. Can't we coordinate them blowing up stuff over there to make a pathway?
They're no longer supposed to be blowing it up there.
Dang.
They're supposed to have moved out.
Dang.
Over into the south area.
Dang. They can blow up a couple mountain things there. They've got to blow up stuff. They might as well.
They're blowing it up,
Zach. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Sorry, I had to say something funny.
And the environmental folks would have a field day.
I just, you know.
But according to the commanders,
just a
they don't.
Come on, you know, they're blowing up stuff out there. Just blow it up over here.
Wayne,
sorry.
Wayne, one thing that we had discussed, and I know we discussed this numerous times, and I don't see it on here, is the widening of Burmester Road.
And so, and here's my thoughts. It's up to this group what you'd like to do. My preference, both before showing widening of Drew Bay Road and before showing widening of Burmester, my recommendation rather would be that we do some more modeling. The model, the travel demand model for the valley, is currently being updated, and once it's completed, I'd prefer to look at the take the population and employment forecasts in a couple years from now, and look at the travel demand forecasts and see with Burmester, Mid-Valley, 138 to the west, I don't expect a lot of growth in traffic, 36, Drew Bay, Ochre Expressway, to see how the traffic volumes are looking. My belief is that when Mid-Valley goes in, I think it would be wise to wait and see what happens when Mid-Valley goes in, before deciding whether to plan for widening of Burmester or widening of Druhay.
We think that if you would widen Burmester Road right now, we're not looking for a five lane, but it has a tremendous amount of traffic, that you could take the traffic off of this construction area here and run it down there to Burmester, and that would make it much more efficient. This last week, they had a bad wreck, a fatality.
Right.
And it happened through there. I know it. I'm trying to remind him.
Are you? Yeah. He told me he'd never been to Grantsville before. He stopped at Guzzle and got a drink and everything else.
Well, we need to stop at Castadel, right?
Stimulated the economy just a little bit.
But that would make a tremendous difference right now. And we in the county would like to widen it out. We do it this fall.
And
all we have to do is get ONS approval.
Great.
And an engineer assigned to that road, and we'll go ahead and reconstruct.
And so are you intending to widen that to a three-lane cross-section with shoulders? All I was thinking was, before putting a five-lane cross-section on the plan, that it would make, could be wise to do some modeling, but...
I think your modeling is probably something that you need to do, but in the interim, while we're waiting for all this modeling, this valley's continuing to grow,
right,
and it's
right,
increasing the bottleneck, the traffic that is there, that congestion. If you did this and widened that, I'm just saying to two lanes on each side,
uh-huh,
rather than the five lanes immediately, well, that would relieve a lot of congestion that you're going to have here while you're trying to do these other two projects. Because you guys, I seen somebody put a count down there. I don't know what the count showed, but the thing of it is, and I don't know if it was you guys or whether it was somebody else, you got part of the traffic that goes that way because they meet up with other people,
right,
to catch the bus.
Right.
But if you did this, you would be surprised at the traffic that goes up and down that morning and night.
Sure. No, and so I'll leave it up to the group. If you want to show a widening of Burmester on here, we'll put it on here. So
I vote for it.
I vote for it.
That's kind of what I'm hearing. Okay.
Sounds two out of three, they win.
Great.
You
I yield.
Well, one other thing you consider is that they're doing a lot of road work on Main Street in Grantsville on the east end.
Mm-hmm.
And if that were widened sooner than later, it would take that traffic off as well.
Sure.
And so that would be that'd be very helpful.
Okay.
They're supposed to have their UDOT permits October 8th.
Okay.
So can you get it done the next week?
I'm not the one with the purse. Anyway, great.
Just asking, Wayne. Just asking.
Thank you. Thank you. Great input.
Tulsi input. I don't know if the county is staying with the name of Parkway Boulevard, Commissioner, if there's a different name. That's the one that's right along the northern boundary of Tula City. The map would represent that that's in Tula City limits. It's actually in the unincorporated portion of Tula County.
Okay.
Just barely.
It's right on the edge of it.
I think that's designated 3300 Parkway or 33rd Parkway, something like that. Because that looks like that one where the natural 2000 North 30th and 33 North would be about right there.
Yeah, it's in that general area. But just for clarity, so when people start looking at responsibility, that would be a county road on there.
Got it.
I would propose that we extend the widening on Utah Avenue to extend up to Coleman. Right now we have curb and gutter generally east of Coleman.
Uh-huh.
We do not have road widening west of Coleman. So if the plan is to show Utah Avenue to make a complete complete, I would recommend it extend up to Coleman.
So are you saying extend the 4 or 5 lane cross section up to Coleman? Because that's what that red line indicates is a future need for a 4 or 5 lane cross section.
If that's the case, and I need to rethink that then, because if that's the case, I probably wouldn't bring the other up. Let me consider that. We'd bring probably at least to Twill Boulevard,
okay,
where that stubs east of the tracks, then if that's the designation, if that's the break point.
Okay. So for now, we'll take it to Twilla Boulevard,
to Twilla Boulevard,
you'll let us know.
Yes, that's 1100 west.
Further.
Okay. Yeah.
So one of the challenges up where it meets Main Street, it's very difficult to get.
We won't go that far.
I know, but if you have that road and people see it, then they go up to Main Street. It's really a tough turn, particularly if you got a truck.
That's designated as a non-truck route. It's signed by UDOT as a non-truck route.
The truck drivers
can't read.
They have the same issue there that we do on North Street, and down on just north of Vegas, that 6,000 north. You get the truck drivers, they can see the Walmart. They'll turn at 6,000 north because they think they can get there. Yeah. They go down a half a mile and they have to back up. They get on North Street, and there's signage there, but they'll still turn and go down North Street. They get to Hell Street or to Maple Street, and they can't make the turn with their trailers.
Actually, wait. Let me review that, because that would require improving the railroad crossing, which would be a huge cost.
Okay.
We may not want to take that 4 lanes across the railroad. There's life and safety issues there that may come into play. Brad, maybe we can use your rail experience to. You've got a railroad liaison in your office, don't you still?
Yeah, well, not at Region 2, but at the main complex.
At the main complex, okay, so we can maybe look at that.
Could you get a bridge for them so we have to stop for the train?
The final comment, and I appreciate the statement underneath the legend, I would propose that we show those two segments in a different color, just to help distinguish the fact that phase segment 2 and segment 3 really mean something. I mean, there really is a question there. I agree with the commissioner that alignment of two, I really doubt that you'll cross Sheep Valley or Sheep Lane twice, you know, kind of a thing.
Sure.
You know, there's
sure.
a lot of things there, but I think that would help. With that, I would propose that we not make a decision on when to take this to the public, but we let us refine it one final time. Let us have kind of a discussion. We're catching Andrew cold because this is probably the first time he's even seen this.
Yeah.
And I'd like to make sure that we get his input, and then we can fully go and support it. Does that sound all right with you?
Thank you. Let me take those one at a time. Does the group have any concerns with showing the middle and southern sections of the proposed Mid-Valley Highway and the red dashed line just south by 80 up at the northeast in a third color rather than red or blue?
I think it might be easier to understand. While you're on that, I mean, I know we got phase 1, phase 2. With the growth of the valley, do you really anticipate that some of these widening projects can go that many years?
Well, excellent question, and I think time will tell. I think at this point, our thinking, and as far as I can tell, the group thinking has been that it would make sense to show some kind of phasing in the plan. The only modeling that's been done so far has been out to 2040, for purposes of the RPO plan preparation. And so And the other fact of the matter is that there, at this point in time, there are not identified revenues to accompany any of these projects. And so its purpose is for planning, to plan ahead, to be able to preserve corridor when that's necessary, and make other preparations to pursue these projects. And I don't want to discount that value, but on the other hand, there are no, you know, I think it's to some extent it's anybody's guess as to exactly when some of these projects will get constructed.
Can I ask another question? So Grantsville City, how many building permits do you guys have going right now?
A whole bunch. That's why I was asking that question.
Right.
And see, is what I was looking at. You dealt with a part of an issue the other day. When you're on the road coming on 112, and that road has a lot of people that work out on the West Desert.
Yep.
If you get somebody that is poking along at 40 miles an hour, you're stuck at 40 miles an hour because
right.
there isn't means to pass somebody. And so I'm sitting here looking at that, and I'm going, yeah, I understand the Mid-Valley Highway is coming in, and granted, the sheep lane will probably have to be readjusted, but I guess my question is, we're going to take the road from basically where the garbage dump is, and we're going to widen it going up, but yet we're not doing anything going north with that road. I would think that should be on the same timeline as the other road, and that's why I was wondering if maybe this phasing needs to be redone differently. I can guarantee you that road will never make it to 2031. That road is nearly like 36 is right now at times. And it only has the opportunity to get worse.
Sure. No, and if the group's okay with it, we certainly don't have any issue with putting 112 from Grantsville Main Street down to Sheep Lane into phase one. The reality is that some of these projects will have to happen later than others, some will happen sooner, and so it's...
I wasn't able to finish what I was saying, sorry.
Ahead.
I know there's a lot in Grantsville. I know there's a lot in Twilla City. How many are out in the northern end of Twilla Valley right now going on?
Projects?
No, like building permits.
We have a lot. I mean, I don't know how many active building permits we have, but the plan's going forward are a lot.
I have a concern. So State Road 138, when does it turn over to county?
In the next couple of years?
Yeah, I thought that already.
As soon as the Mid-Valley Highway is completed.
Complete.
Well,
okay.
We are
right
now.
Not the whole thing, but
right.
only a portion of it.
Right, from where Mid-Valley starts up into. But we have a huge impact coming into that area directly now.
Sure.
And I don't see anything on State Route 138.
Well, and so.
I just don't see anything there whatsoever, and in all reality, a lot of Grantsville residents drive along that road too, up until we are going to have Mid-Valley Highway
right,
done.
Right.
So yes, you don't put major improvements on it if it's, you know, not going to be one of the bigger houses. But still, the other thing too is once you get all those residents right there, they're either going to go this way or they're going to go that way. So they still deserve the same attention as these other ones.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, that there, you know, there will continue to be growth in traffic, and so my recommendation is to wait and see a bit as to how things shake out. If the group's preference is to go ahead and indicate, widening so that you're planning for a 4 or 5 lane cross section on that section of 138, we can do that too. So
whatever. I would like to do that before UDOT, combines Mid Valley so they can pay for it. But.
Well, I just know right now it's a hazard to the community as is right now with
that's a great point and a future topic for discussion. We'll try and.
I don't see it on here, and it's got a problem right now.
Sure, I hear you. And so part of what I think I'm recommending is that widening to a 4 or 5 lane cross section isn't necessarily the answer.
Right.
For safety improvements, for even for traffic improvements in all situations. And so if the group's preference is to show some major widening, great, we'll put it on here. If not, then we'll keep that in mind for safety improvements.
And I respect 112 has a lot of traffic. I respect that. Sure. But when you have 76% of your working population driving that way.
Oh yeah. Yep.
You gotta.
And so, what's the group's preference? Do you want to show some widening on 138 there, or do you want to assume that for now, at least, it might be more minor?
So, are you asking for a bike lane, Kim? Is that what you're asking for?
No, I'm talking traffic itself. It's dangerous.
Making clarification along with 138, question that I have is, this is showing Bates Canyon Road making a connection onto 138. It was my understanding that part of this was so that the airport could extend over 138 and there was going to be a wiggle in the road to allow for the airport's expansion. I don't know whether I'm off or what.
You're not. I was going to point that out next. I thought I saw a plan to tee in either Bates or existing 138 into Mid Valley to go north of the airport expansion.
The airport right now is not planning on an expansion, and the reason is they've got IFEL. Guidance system on that north end. We're already 300 feet longer than the other airport in the, airport number 2 in Salt Lake. And so we've got an excellent opportunity there. If we were to go, it would be very costly to move that IFEL system to the north. And so at this point, in my last meeting with them last week, they said, no, that's not a possibility at this point. Now, they've got their mind on a big project. It's a little over $3.6 billion right now. And so it's difficult to get them to think out here on this project. But that was the last conversation we had. Kim, for your information, this road, 138 will be resurfaced before it's officially turned over to the county. And so, yes, they're going to take care of some improvements there. Widening, we have the room to do that, but it's probably not realistic because then you create a pinch point down at Mills Junction. And so that's one of the challenges. We feel that Village Boulevard, 138, Grantsville, all of those feeders into Mid Valley Highway will help them. But resurfacing Burmester, that would be a tremendous.
Right, and help. I agree. Help. I've driven on that road needs. Yeah. Well, it does need help.
It really does, just because it's not safe. On the middle to the south end.
Yeah.
It's just not wide enough.
But you don't have a lot of feeder communities going into that road?
Want to bet?
You haven't been there.
No, I have.
I was really concerned the other day about how many families we have in Stansbury versus Grantsville. And according to the voting records, Stansbury has just about 60 more households on the voting record than does Grantsville. They're both about 3,100, 3,147, 3,187, something like that. And if that will give you an idea of what's happening, everybody thinks Stansbury is the greatest growth, but at this point, according to the people who vote, it's not. They're very close. So that's a new thought that most people are not aware of.
So thank you, everyone. Yeah. For time's sake, I think we'll take these comments that have been made, and I think where, at least in my mind, there's been a question on a few things, we'll bring those question marks back for some future discussion.
I think we still ought to do some investigating on the airport, because regardless of what the commissioner has said, and I'm not down what he's saying,
sure.
The last words that I had was that I was told that the airport would extend over what is currently 138 and would go to the north, and they wasn't talking just a few feet, correct me if I'm wrong, they was talking a half a mile.
Me too.
And it was part of that was to get FedEx, UPS, some of these flights that are bringing packages and things like that in out of the Salt Lake Airport to eliminate some of the air traffic there, because they can't do it at airport number two because it's maxed out.
Okay.
Right. So that was the last words that I had gotten.
Okay. Thank you. Brian?
Sorry, just real quick. So my understanding, the Mid-Valley Highway, one of the benefits of that project is going to reduce traffic off of all these other roads that are carrying that burden.
Correct.
If you're talking about Whiting, Burmester, and 138, even if you had the money today, it would take 6 months to get that project going. You have two construction projects.
Yep.
So that's the reality. I mean, Juan's project's ready to go. I mean, it's really, it's close, right, to be...
Yeah.
We don't want to jeopardize that project.
No, not whatsoever.
No, that's not my... The point is if you were to try and create another project to beat this one, you're going to have two projects going at the same time.
We're already funded for the Burmester.
I don't think we're trying to beat it.
Yeah, okay. I just said, there was discussion about how if we widen that, it would reduce some of the problems during these other projects, and...
Yeah, well.
And widening 138 would help, but the reality is you'll have more construction everywhere these people are trying to go. So,
well, we've already got the funding for the Burmester widening, and that'll be in 2023.
Okay.
And so that takes that part off the table. At this point, the county is prepared to pre-construct as soon as possible on the Burmester part.
And I don't think construction on that would have the same impact as 138 would if you were...
138 right now is not under consideration to be widened. It'll be resurfaced, but it won't be widened at this point.
All right. Great. Well, thank you, everyone. Excellent discussion, and appreciate the good dialogue. So we'll come back with, like I say, some modifications and items for further discussion. Let's turn some time over to Juan for Mid-Valley Highway.
So the project is past 90% complete. We're wrapping it up to package it for advertisement in early November.
Is 90% complete?
Okay. We're packaging for advertisement in early November. We've submitted for the 404 permit with the Army Corps. We started that process last week. So, if that application is perfect, it's supposed to be 6 months before we can start, we'll get approval. However, historically, the last
4 or 5 years, our applications have gone anywhere between 7 months to 18 months. So we're a little nervous about meeting the summer construction start date. That's what we're hoping. So what I have to do is hold the advertisement package until I get better words from the Corps. The risk is if I put it out, the package out too soon, the contractors won't know how to bid, and there's a risk of rising prices if they're just prices if they have to wait around for the permit. I have to pay them standby time, so I might have to just hold that package until I know the status of my permit.
How can we help you hurry that up in the Corps?
I wish I know how to. We can control the Corps, but we don't. We've done everything we could on the application. I think we've just put in all our efforts and then some, just to make them happy. So here's hoping. All of the county's help with getting us water rights. Mm-hmm. That's been really helpful. I'm hoping that will push us. but yeah, so let's just hope. I have no idea. So once construction starts, it's a 2-year process. 1 year to surcharge or settle the interchange, and then another to do the actual construction. So it's a lot of waiting. Yeah, we're hoping not to do 3 years, because that's what would happen if we wait around for the Corps. So worst case right now, we'll finish in 2022, construction-wise.
And best case is 2021?
2021. So unless by some miracle, we can, it might even push up to 2020 if the Corps would follow their 6 months process.
Sure.
Well, we had interest from about 3 or 4 different contractors, major contractors, so I think our prices will come in really well.
Any questions for Juan?
Just keep on going. Thank you.
Yeah, and let everybody know if you need help.
Unfortunately, nobody really has an in with the Corps, so
you never know.
All right, thank you. Kevin, appreciate your being here as well.
Hopefully everyone can see this. Brad, sorry about that. Can everyone see that? Okay. So this is the SR36 flyover. It's a rendering based on our actual 3D design model. The existing bridge would have been right here, but this shows the bridge being removed, right? Because we're building it to the west side.
So to the right is south.
West. Right. That's south. Yeah, that's this would south. Be the west side. This would okay. be the east side.
Okay, thank you.
Where we're at right now is kind of we're waiting for two things. Number one, settlement. So that's why when you drive by, you see that temporary retaining wall. We've got a surcharge by 10 to 15 feet. And the last survey information that we got showed that it's still actually settling. And we really can't do anything until that settles out. Because the next thing we do, as soon as it settles, we can start driving piles. And you don't really want to drive piles before it stops settling, because then the piles also settle. You know? So that's the first thing we're waiting for. The second thing we're waiting for is funding. So between this project and the I-80 over UP project, we're short on money. 2 weeks ago, the State Transportation Commission had their meeting, and we have the funding. And we're just basically in the last month or so of having the contractor go in and put all their unit prices, their bids back in. But we really can't do anything until we get the surcharge and the settlement complete. So hopefully the timing is such that in about a month, the contract will be ready to go and the settlement will be approaching getting done, if that makes sense. This shows, just if you're curious, a three-span bridge, the I-80 westbound span and the I-80 eastbound span. The spans are long enough to accommodate future widening of I-80, if and when that happens. I don't know if it's on your 2040 plan. Yes. I didn't look. Yes. And then this span down here is we put a span there for the possible SR-201 realignment that one of the concepts, or actually I think the favored concept, Brad, you're up to speed on this, but the favored concept showed an SR-201 connection underneath here. So this wall would happen when the 201 connector goes in, but when the project's done, that wall won't be there. It'll just be like a fill slope, and then they'll come back and they can build a wall there. So we've designed it so that they can put a wall there later on. So hopefully in about a month, settlement will be done, surcharge will be removed. They'll take all that extra earth and they'll bring it down to the UP location, and then they can start their bridge work and their paving probably through the winter. Any questions?
How wide is that bridge?
So this shows...
Four lanes or...
This shows three lanes.
Three lanes.
Two coming off the freeway, I-80, and going in...
To Stansbury.
Into Stansbury, yeah.
Okay.
And one lane coming out. So before you get to this gore up here, there's two lanes. One goes across the bridge, loops under, goes west, and then this lane goes towards east and opens up to two lanes, I think, up in here.
I have a quick question. Does Mid Valley going to be going to Wendover? Is it going to ever have any entrance to go west?
Is it a full interchange?
Yeah.
I think she means.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So okay. you can go north on Mid Valley or northeast on Mid Valley and go west on I-80.
I have a quick question. If it ever gets so congested that you're going to need three lanes of traffic off of there, can you route everybody to get on the freeway down to the Mid Valley? Like, is there any legality? Am I making any sense?
No, I don't. Oh, yeah, sorry.
So I think what Kim's asking is, are you meaning just with electronic signing?
No. So right now, you can get on there and go west, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So in the future, if there's so much congestion coming into the Tula Valley, could you close that getting on going west and route them down to the Mid Valley to get on going west?
I don't see why not.
You could. You just end up removing that loop ramp that goes west.
I'm just saying that's an opportunity
I can't recall what size shoulders you have here. Do you remember?
I think they're 8-foot shoulders.
I would suspect before you did that, you'd probably
do three lanes coming off.
Squish the shoulders down and try to get three across.
Okay, I just was wondering.
Get an extra lane on the bridge. Yeah,
that would be quite a ways into the future.
It's probably needed now.
Yeah.
Because you need you've seen people back up on that road, clear back to the rest area, and actually where 201 enters I-80.
Yeah. The problem.
So we need to have that. Four lanes all the way across instead of three.
I think even during construction, if you made people go down to Grantsville,
The problem right now is the
to get on west.
The signal that you get, the first signal in Lake Point, And what this project is going to do is add a third lane in the southbound direction right up to you get off the ramp to get additional vehicles queued up to that signal, and then they can push through the signal quicker and then merge back over into two lanes past sunset.
I was really looking for four lanes, you know, so that you could take the volume that's coming off of there, because you'll have two full lanes easily filling that up, so you don't have that mile and a half to 2 mile wait going back. So please help me out with this, because that's a hard thing to explain to frustrated motorists that are waiting up to 3 hours, you know, when there's a wreck.
Commissioner, are you saying two lanes to go westbound across the bridge?
Yeah, two lanes west and two lanes east.
Do you have the demand, though, to justify two lanes?
Not in the westbound
direction. I mean, the demand is going into the Salt Lake Valley.
Yeah. Right. All the numbers that we've received through modeling and Wasatch Front only show the need for one lane going westbound.
It's that Salt Lake Lake that's causing.
No, I'm saying westbound on the 201, I mean on to...
From 80 to 36.
36, not going westbound on the freeway.
Right, and this doesn't help. You can draw the board. Do you want to draw on the board what you're doing? That's a brand new board we're proud of. Did you notice that the mayor painted and recarpeted just for you guys?
Yes,
I did. She recarpeted, she repainted.
She put the red on the bottom.
I came in and I was like,
she smelled carpet.
I know.
I have to do it this way. I'm an engineer, north is to the right. Sorry. So you have an aux lane coming off. Does this, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. We'll have two lanes here, one lane here. Because this is a. It's a two lane.
All right, I misunderstood that.
And then this loops this way.
Okay.
So yeah, that'll be two lanes here.
And then from 36 eastbound around Salt Lake, you'll have two lanes going that way through a combination of routes. Is that correct, long term?
This opens to two.
It goes from two all the way. And if I recall, there was a plan to add a lane on I-80 between 201 and 202, or 99, I should say, and to 201, right?
That's a concept that's being developed right now. It's not funded.
Oh, no, it's going to happen. I'm just
Is that the 201 connection?
Just the widening. So
that's just an auxiliary lane widening from 99 to 201.
That's okay.
Actually, the on does merge before you get on the freeway.
Yeah,
it goes down to one lane for a short period.
But then you get everybody crossing over that white line and higher control giving tickets.
Are we good on this?
Is this new interchange going to have a median in the middle to kind of make it safer?
No.
Because I mean, in the morning, it's kind of terrifying if like a semi is coming this way and if they like went on.
Up on the bridge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why isn't there a median? I mean, it just makes sense in a rebuild you'd want to increase safety.
We looked at that and we decided not to do that.
You're just going
to
make the paint really thick there. We'll put on two coats on it.
Right. I'm sure a lot of people would die from head-on collisions right there.
It just created more obstructions, putting a barrier in there and crash cushions. And so we decided as a design team not to do that. Plus the volumes were really high enough in that direction, so.
I know, so get rid of it. Just make them go across.
But you know, we do have shoulder width, and in the future, if it's warranted, we can look at that.
But I would suspect before that, we'd be pushing more for the 201 connector to help alleviate that. Mid-Valley's also projected to take 25% of the traffic from this point over to Mid-Valley, so that'll help also.
Well, before we leave this project, I don't know, Kevin, if you're going to go to the other one, but now we're bringing two lanes fully into this still. The county, you have an auxiliary road that turns off between the overpass and McDonald's that serves property west of the rail where you've got your material, your equipment, sales yard. Is anything being done there to improve safety for that road?
Going over to the old salt mine?
Yeah. No. Yeah, the one, I'm sorry, it's this side of the gas station, actually.
Hardy Road, is that one?
The old Hardy Road.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be increasing speed, increasing traffic, and is there anything being
addressed there? Yeah. I took a hard look at this after the accident occurred on Thursday. I took a really hard look at this area for safety improvements, and it's something that I wanted to bring up with the county. I don't know if you want to do it in this setting, but I did want to start conversations with the county on some potential safety improvements we could do there. I have a few thoughts, but it does have impacts, of course.
It'll have a significant impact if we get any construction over in there besides that one project. You know, the sales yard, they have 4 or 5 times a year and that's it. But if we get somebody else out there, it's going to be a significant difference. So we hope that you'll plan for that. One of the great challenges you have is planning for the future instead of meeting the needs of the current. And I noticed on Bangor Highway, we spent $80 million on just a couple of overpasses. And they have a third of the traffic that we have.
And nobody on.
Not the number of cars, but percentage-wise, they have a third by your count.
That's crazy.
So we've got 3 times more traffic going through this intersection. And what you're doing will help a little bit, but it won't help 100,000 more people that will be here by 2040 in this valley. Because that's all we've got. So help us to look forward.
That sounds like some worthwhile discussion to have with the county.
Yep. Thank you. Who at the county is Commissioner Bittner? What do you have 10 minutes after this meeting?
How long is this meeting?
I would guess another 10 minutes.
So part 2 of this is the I-80 over Union Pacific Railroad, and looking at these meeting minutes back in June, they talked about a 3-week lane closure and a bridge slide. So back about this time, we did a lane closure going eastbound and westbound, right? To one lane each direction.
Well, you did some repair work
this summer.
Yeah, it was back in June-ish.
That's right after
Memorial Day. There were some issues going eastbound. We talked about it.
We did pretty good up until the last day. That last day has some significant impact, delays.
And so at the time, we were looking at a bridge slide. We were going to put eastbound and westbound one lane in each direction on the existing eastbound bridge. We were going to close the westbound bridge, tear it down, and do the slide, which was going to, we couldn't do it any faster than 3 weeks. I mean, that was the absolute fastest they could do it, and they're actually looking for even longer. They did the 1 week where they dropped it down the one lane east direction, had some problems, so we kind of reconsidered that whole slide option and felt that we really couldn't do it. It was too much of an impact to the motorists. So the latest plan is we're going to kind of scrap the slide option, and we're going to build a temporary 2-lane wide bridge to the south side of the eastbound bridge. So
in between them then?
No, it won't be in between them. There's not enough room. So it'll be completely to the south side. It's kind of like a prefabricated type bridge. They'll come in, they'll build it, and then they'll put eastbound on that bridge with temporary widening, temporary pavement, and then they'll put eastbound on that bridge, and then they'll put westbound, cross them over, put them on the eastbound bridge. Mm-hmm. And then they'll tear down the existing westbound bridge, build that in place, and that's wide enough for four lanes. So when that's done, they'll put westbound on the westbound bridge, and they'll actually put eastbound on the westbound bridge. So they'll have two lanes each direction. And then they'll remove the temp bridge, remove the eastbound bridge, and then build the final eastbound bridge. So kind of a change in the game plan. But because of that, the experience that we had with the backups, we tried to do some public involvement, getting the word out there, but I think it was a Monday.
It was Monday morning.
And I think people kind of got used to it, and woke up Monday morning, went out there, and we had like a 55-minute delay or something. So, and the 3 weeks was really pushing it to do all that work. And the risk of having that 3 weeks go longer was kind of a reality. So that's kind of why we went to this plan.
How long does it take to build that other piece?
So, the project duration is gonna finish the same by the end of next year.
Well, I know, but we'll be on the other road for quite a while.
Yeah. So, in about a month, Granite Construction will start doing this work. Probably, they'll build the widening, they'll get the temp bridge in there, and they'll be doing that through the winter. And the latest schedule that I saw was probably March or so is when they would put the eastbound traffic on the temp bridge. So March-ish. And as soon as that's done, they can do the crossovers for westbound, get everybody on that south side, and then kind of go to town on that. On the north side.
So that'll be your Lego bridge.
It's kind of a Lego bridge. It's like a truss type bridge. But it'll be wide enough to accommodate two lanes eastbound, and then we'll get the two westbound lanes on the eastbound bridge. But ultimately, there won't be any delay in the overall completion. So
just be a slow down area, just a little bit.
Yeah.
On that, with the fill that you got to put in there, you don't have to have any settling time there?
No. Most of the temp widening, if you go out there, you'll see on the south side of the existing lanes, you'll kind of see that there's kind of a bench there.
Oh, okay.
And then it kind of goes down. And as you get closer, to the tracks, it drops down. But we're gonna have to put some temp walls in on each approach.
But you're gonna have to raise it up a good portion, about 6 feet, so you get the proper rail crossing. That's 23 feet right now.
Ultimately, yes, but for the temp bridge, we only need to be at or higher than the existing clearance.
Lucked out.
Which is roughly 21 and a half feet. But you're right, when we go to build the final, this shows it. We're gonna be a good 8 feet higher than the existing. I don't know if you can see this. This is, again, from our 3D model, but it shows the old bridge down here, and then the new. This is the old eastbound bridge, and this will be the new shoulder stripe of the eastbound, and it's about 8 feet above to meet the 23-foot.
So that means the approach on both sides is going to have to be increased.
Yep.
Quite a bit.
Yep. So a lot of times you hear about these bridge slides that happen in a weekend. UDOT does them routinely.
And we're amazed.
And on this project, we can't, because it's not just the bridge, but these approaches. And we've got like almost 1,000 feet on the west side and about 300 feet on the east side that we have to bring the approaches up, and you just can't do that in a weekend. That's what was driving the 3 weeks, and that was like round the clock construction to go in, remove all the old pavement, bring in all the new fill, the new pavement section, and all that. And then, you know, the bridge slide was an idea where we could build everything to the side, before, and then as these approaches got done, the bridge slides would get done at the same time, and then we would just slide it. But we still needed that 3 weeks, and we still needed to have one lane in each direction, which was a no-go, right? So, is that...
So that's two bridges. I thought there were three that are going to be redone. Where's the other one?
Well, that was the first, the SR-36.
Okay.
And then the second bridge is the westbound bridge, and the third bridge is the eastbound. It's at the same location.
So you're going to keep...
There's two separate bridges.
So you keep the 201 connection... right where it is without rebuilding that one.
Correct. You mean the 201 over I-80?
Flyover.
Yeah, we're not touching that bridge.
Okay. Yeah. But you will put an extra lane on that side so we don't have to merge I-80?
It's not part of this project. It's one we're trying to get funded right now.
Well, here's an easy way to do it. All of those things aren't in Tooele County, like this part here. You can just assign that to Salt Lake and take what we would have from them and give it to us for funding.
So
that's technically that Salt Lake County.
We have some ideas to try to hopefully push the funding forward on that one too. But
you right gotta now, think out of the box. I mean, you know.
We've got some ideas for it.
Good. We appreciate that.
So this one you'll start seeing some work probably in the next 6 weeks. But it'll be getting that temp bridge ready. Oops.
So there's going to be community reach out, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, because I'm sorry, but it kind of wasn't good last time. Sorry, I'm just to be honest.
That's okay.
So it kind of needs to...
Well, I published everything they would give us.
Right, I know, but...
And it still wasn't...
No. So
there was a lot of questions or apprehension, I guess.
We know the word got out because that Monday where everything blew up, if you look at the traffic numbers, typically it's spread out over about a 2 hour period.
Right.
Everybody tried to beat it and they all came at one time at like 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. That's why it all jammed up. It was very interesting.
No, that wasn't word out because of UDOT. That's because of people here that were getting the word out. I'm not trying to, I'm just saying that it was.
Just put it on Facebook and we'll be fine.
But, yeah.
That's good to know. We've got a public involvement person that we can
HDR
reach out to you. Yeah.
And I did contact her.
Maybe. Melissa?
Yeah.
She was here. She's been here before.
Okay.
We just kind of swapped.
But it kind of, like, she said, oh, I'll email you everything and I'll let you know. And, and I don't mean to, I just,
If you're not getting the information you need, let me know.
Okay.
Make sure you get it.
I know that.
We need to have that outreach.
On the, whatever your... The project update pages, people were using that just to stay abreast of what the status was and all of that on the project. So, and we can put that on our Facebook page and in our newsletters easily.
All right. Good. I don't know. Thanks, Tina. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you. We just need to cover one more item here on CMAC, and we should be able to wrap up.
It's the season of CMAC, so we didn't have the last RPO meeting where we usually bring this one forward, so we thought we better get it in this one before the end of the year. But talking to Wayne, it sounds like this year we don't have a definitive dollar amount yet. We're somewhere in the $300,000 range, maybe a little bit more, but we're not quite sure yet. But we wanted to, instead of doing letters of intent this year, I guess I wanted to throw it out to this group. Would you prefer, if you intend to put a project forward, would you be okay with just sending me an email and say, we intend to send or submit a project for this amount, and here's a brief scope of what we're thinking, whether it's a sidewalk project or something else, just something very brief so we know what you're doing or planning for. And then, similar to the schedule last year, we're at the beginning of October now, but last year we had applications due November, about the third week of November, right before Thanksgiving. I thought that was a pretty good date. If you guys are okay, we'd keep that same schedule. But before we get too far with that, last year we briefly talked about maybe skipping a year and trying to get a bigger pot of money in year two. And I wanted to see if there was still interest in that, or if you just wanted to stick with the $300,000 and go year after year.
I'm fine with holding off for a year because I got enough on my table getting ready to start that. And for whatever reason, a sidewalk project turns into being quite the ordeal.
We love it. What do you mean?
So I'm fine either way. I do know that we do have some projects, we'll have some projects that probably would exceed the 1 year of funding.
I'm fine either way. You're fine either way. County, do you have any thoughts either way? Skipping a year, getting a bigger pot of money, or just?
No, we can, it's built in front of my house, so I don't, doesn't matter
anymore. He don't need no sidewalk, he's got one.
I just feel like your priority would be just safety of schools, if we could kind of look at that.
Well, that's what we were working on. I currently have one, but it'll start, I believe, next year, a small sidewalk project. Not that we have got all of the sidewalks in the direct routes to schools done, but I will tell you this much. When there's a sidewalk project going on, correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, you spend a lot of time there.
It's not free money, nor is it free time.
No.
But it's good. The
projects are great to get done. Yeah. The only thing I'm saying is we're getting ready to go into Main Street, and I'm not going to have a lot of time to be able to spend on sidewalks.
But what I would use the time for is I'd like to look and do the study and see where we want to go next, because we'll likely have to acquire right-of-way for anything that we don't already have.
I still have some more.
Before I get into the UDOT project, then it's much cleaner and much simpler.
I had some on the Durfee Street and Willow Street, trying to get them to the elementary school.
Right.
But that's part of the water sewer project, is in those laneways. And that's part of the reason I'm willing to hold off a year.
Sounds like we'll hold off a year then?
Sure.
Okay.
That's my goal.
That makes it easy on everybody's end for this year anyway.
Just get my UDOT permits, will you? So I can get started.
Any other items of business?
One item just to look forward to, not for discussion today. And it relates to Mid Valley Highway Signet 3. Just a reminder that it crosses Army-controlled property. When we started this Mid Valley Highway discussion, that property was held by a private landowner. After September 11th, that property was taken back by the U.S. Army. So that road cannot be constructed without Army consent and whatever legislative, congressional action it requires. So as we move forward, it's worth having at least that reminder in the back of our minds that we need to resolve how that road gets out and what the Army will or won't allow.
Which road?
The southern segment of Mid Valley Highway.
Phase 2.
On
phase
Army's three. Property, they've changed their requirements so that it makes it very, what you're saying, they've changed the requirements so it makes it very difficult to go across that one little corner.
Exactly.
And so one of the reasons we haven't opened that up is because of EIS.
Right.
And I talked a couple of weeks ago with their environmental coordinator, and he said, look, you can go ahead and start that now. And so we have to realign phase two and phase three.
Right.
We're working fast on, as fast as the railroad will go, which is about 3 years, for that rail crossing out there that comes on to 36. And comes past the jail, we've got that little segment done. But from there over, we've got to figure out a way to run that through the city.
Exactly. And like I said, it's, you know, we don't need to debate it today, but I would like to put a big place mark for future discussion, because that will take some time to work through.
Yeah, it really will. And we've got anxious people that want to align that road. Miller's is not very compatible right now with running on phase two, right, on the present alignment. And so we're looking at either up on the east side or on the, I mean, not above the railroad tracks, but on the east side of that plot, or right up through Sheep Lane. And running it through Sheep Lane, for me, is a challenge, because I think that should be a feeder road rather than the highway. And so if we go on Sheep Lane, there's a proposal for an entrance every 600 or 800 feet. I don't like that. I'd rather see three points of entry and use that as a, you know, whatever the main road is, and then use Sheep Lane as a feeder on the low side. We put one up on the upper side to have that be a feeder as well. So there's a lot of moving parts here, not just with UDOT. So we're able to open that EIS now, and that's a critical point for us.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anything else? Next meeting, if everybody's okay with it, we are scheduled for Monday, December 10th at 1:30. And with that, we will stand adjourned.
Thank you.
You're going to get that signed mail for...
Yeah, we got it ordered.
It's right here. He is signing.